This is Radio Boston. I'm Carrie Young in for Tiziana Deering.
Some beneficial rain. We need all that we can get as moderate drought continues here about a quarter of eastern Massachusetts.
Thursday, you can see temperatures slowly continue to rise. We've got loads of sunshine in the forecast.
We're dialing up the heat for the end of the week. Friday is going to be more of that summertime touch, especially as you go away from the water. We're expecting the low 90s in many areas.
Prepare the next several days. It's going to get really dry as we lead up to some hotter temperatures.
Dry, hot, and sunny. According to U.S. climate data, June in Boston is supposed to average a little less than 4 inches of rain. But as of this week, the Boston area is missing almost an inch and a half of rain. Cumulatively, since January 1st of this year, we're missing almost 5.6 inches of rain. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, nearly 75% of the Commonwealth is currently in a moderate drought. So what does all of this mean? With us now is Ann Carroll. She is the director of the Office of Water Resources in the Massachusetts Department of Conservation and Recreation. Ann, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much.
So first of all, there is still water coming out of our taps and running through our rivers. So can you describe this for us? What does drought look like in Massachusetts to the average person?
Sure. So in very general terms, drought is just an abnormally dry condition. That's a shift away from what we average conditions are, what we normally expect for a prolonged period. And then, of course, Massachusetts defines it much more specifically than that through our drought plan, which I can talk a little bit more about. But right now, where we're at a, you know, sort of a level one and a level two drought across most of the state, so moderate to significant drought, it can be reflected both in terms of you might see lawns starting to brown, your garden might be wilting, the fire danger is elevated. If you look at the stream flow levels, they're low, they're pretty low.
So you're seeing water lines, I guess, in rivers and ponds.
Yes. So we have a network of gauges that tracks the stream flow and the groundwater levels across the state. And you can look at those, and essentially they're represented as dots on a map. So as you go from green being sort of normal to yellow and red, and right now you can see a lot of yellow, orange, and red showing up on the map.
Well, you've mentioned a lot of different names and labels for how we look at drought. So I want to talk about one that I've heard the most, you know, moderate drought, we've got significant drought. Can we talk about that scale and how it works?
Yes.
How does it go from bad to worse, and how high does that one go?
Okay, so the way we do it in Massachusetts is, and we basically follow a plan that was updated in 2019 after our significant drought of 2016. We split the state into 7 drought regions, and then there's 6 indicators that we look at and track. So there's a lot of data behind it. Then we have a task force that includes local, state, and federal partners and experts, including National Weather Service, USGS, that all deliberate looking at that data. So we take a look monthly at the two drivers of drought would be how much precipitation we're getting, but then also is it soaking into the ground or is it being evaporated? So evaporation and evapotranspiration. So those are kind of the two things that will shape what's happening. And then we're also looking at the response in the environment by looking at the stream flow levels, the groundwater levels, also the fire danger. There's an index that's calculated by the state fire districts, which is sort of about the soil moisture. And then lastly, another index that looks at looks at soil moisture.
One thing that I'm starting to think about, though, too, as we hit the hot summer months, is that it feels like we do see some drought or drier conditions in the summer. Is drought normal right now, I guess, is what I'm asking?
So it's a really good question. And we struggled with this when we updated our plan, because how do you define normal? So for some of the data that we have, I'll use rainfall, for example. We're very lucky in this state to have had dedicated people essentially tracking the rainfall every day, in some cases for over 100 years, and marking it down. So we have these great records. So when we redid our plan, we converted all of our data to percentiles. But what does that really mean? It just means is how rare is what we're seeing? Like, is this common or is this rare? So when you think about how much rainfall do we get every year, on average, what we put in our last report is it on average, Massachusetts gets about 48 inches, but that can vary. In a drought, in a severe drought year, it might be as low as 30, or it could be as high as 60. But what's been happening is that's been shifting as the climate has changed. And we now, this is no longer theoretical. We're living it. And we're seeing, we've experienced the evidence of more frequent droughts and also a concept called a flash drought, where you get a more rapid onset than we had come to expect or experience based on our history.
So it sounds like we might be expecting more droughts to come here in Massachusetts?
We certainly are expecting that, and we have been seeing that, and we're trying to do our best to prepare for that.
Ann Carroll is the director of the Office of Water Resources in the Massachusetts Department of Conservation and Recreation. Thanks, Ann.
You're welcome.
Eastern Massachusetts is at a level 2 significant drought, but it's not just the state that sets drought levels. Individual municipalities do as well. Danvers, Massachusetts has set their levels at level 4, where they've been since June 21st. Joining us now on the line to talk about how Danvers is dealing with its drought is Scott Souza. He is the field editor for Patch, covering Beverly, Danvers, Marblehead, Peabody, Salem, and Swampscott. Scott, hello, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on today, Carrie.
So, Scott, what have you seen? What does level 4 drought look like to you in these communities?
Well, up in Danvers, Danvers is part of the Ipswich River water basin, which is it's considered a kind of an endangered river because of two recent droughts over the last couple of years, over the last 6 years, two recent droughts, and you know, also stormwater and erosion. Because of that, a few years ago, the Department of Environmental Protection in Massachusetts, as part of the Waste Management Act, restricted Danvers and 13 other towns up in the North Shore, cities and towns up in the North Shore, of the amount of water that they can use during the watering seasons, which are the summer seasons. And Danvers is restricted to 3.8 million gallons of water per day, which sounds like a lot, but it doesn't go very far when you're trying to water lawns and fill swimming pools and do all the things that Danvers people like to do. So starting every year in May 1st, they kind of have this scale that ratchets up quickly in terms of restrictions, and they are already at level 4, which means that outdoor water use with sprinklers and whatnot can only be used 6 hours a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays between 7 and 10 p.m. I don't know how they came up with those particular hours. They seem random, but that is where they are current now. And then, you know, level 5 is next, which means that all outdoor garden watering can only be used by handheld hoses and cans, and you will no longer be able to wash your cars or fill your swimming pools.
I mean, that sounds like for the average person that's a lot to change or get used to. What have you heard from community members about how they're dealing with it?
You know, it's something that goes on every year, so I think it's just something that they deal with. I don't think there's a lot of, you know, fight back on it every year. It's just part of being part of the, you know, the Ipswich River basin. You know, I'm sure it's got to be frustrating with people in Danvers when they have, you know, drive through towns that aren't that far away that have a different water system, that have a little bit more liberal use and are able to take care of their lawns. But, you know, it's something that goes on every year. Last year they reached, this year they have reached level 4 earlier than usual. 2 years ago, or last year, we actually had a rainy July, so it actually let up a little bit in July. 2020 was the last time that they were at level 5, and I would expect, you know, given the weather forecast over the next week or so, that Danvers could be in what they call the conserve water level 5. And then level 6, which is the extreme drought conditions, there's no outdoor water use allowed at all.
Have you ever seen a level 6, or is that unheard of?
Well, the last time I came up with a level 6 was actually in 2012, but that had to do, they were rehabilitating a water treatment plant. So I don't know that they've, I don't remember them ever getting to a level 6 just based on dry weather conditions. But, you know, as I said, the Ipswich River has experienced two major droughts in the last 5 years. And the more it goes on, the, you know, theoretically, the worst it'll get every year. There was actually a consortium of beer companies up on the North Shore. There's a lot of breweries up on the North Shore, and Granite Coast, as part of the Endangered Ale series, actually brewed a beer called Hot Moon Kentucky Common that was with a special label that was done by a Marblehead artist named Amy Horahan that was actually designed to create more awareness for what's going on with the Ipswich River. And you can look up the Ipswich River Watershed Association for a lot more information on the difficulties that they have.
That's definitely one way to get people to pay attention to an issue. All right. Scott Souza is the Patch Field Editor covering Beverly, Danvers, Marblehead, Peabody, Salem, and Swampscott. Thanks so much, Scott.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Okay, so what does all of this mean for you, the average person at home who just wants to water your home garden or take a nice cool shower after one of those 90-degree days that we've seen? With us to unpack what you need to know about living in a drought, we have Ian Cook with us in the studio. He is the executive director of the Neponset River Watershed Association. Hi, Ian.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, we said earlier that cumulatively, starting from January 1st, Boston is missing more than 5 inches of rain. That just sounds like a lot. It did rain pretty hard earlier this week, and we did see some rain last night. I remember waking up and hearing it. Did that help us at all?
Certainly, we're happy to have any rain we can get. But, you know, in terms of the overall deficit we've had, it really didn't make a dent. We're really at the Blue Hill Observatory, which is the spot we usually look at because it's in the middle of our watershed. Rainfall for the year, even including what happened earlier this week, is about 25% below normal.
That sounds really significant when you put it in those numbers. What do you think folks need to know about living in a drought? What are average people going to notice as we continue down this path?
So I think you're going to see things be drier. If you're somebody who gets out and you know, recreates along rivers, which is a big priority for us, you're going to see some sections of rivers where maybe you'd like to go canoeing that just aren't going to have enough water to go canoeing anymore. Another thing we see is we do a lot of water quality monitoring around the watershed, and when it gets into drought conditions, water quality really deteriorates, and you start to see lots of impacts to wildlife. Fish and wildlife are adapted to deal with drought. I think one of the big challenges, especially in eastern Massachusetts, is there's a lot of people here, in addition to the wildlife. We like to use water, and that water comes from somewhere, and it comes out of the environment, which is part of why there's a push to conserve, because really what's happening to the rivers is there's a natural drought happening, but there's also active human water withdrawals that exacerbate that.
Now, I used to live in New Mexico and Arizona, and so I have this idea in my head of what really dry conditions look like, and I heard the word drought a lot out there. Does drought look different here in Massachusetts than it would in some of those more arid states?
Drought looks very different here in eastern Massachusetts. As my friend Ann said, you know, we normally get 48 inches of rain a year. Arizona probably gets 10 inches of rain a year. So it's a very different kind of environment, and we're adapted to very different water levels.
You are the head of the Neponset River Watershed Association. Can you speak specifically to how the Neponset River is doing right now? This river touches 10 different communities in 4 different neighborhoods in Boston.
That's right. The river is, it's not the worst it's ever been, but water levels in the river, before it rained on Monday, water levels in the river were about a third of normal. Which definitely means some of those recreational uses are definitely being curtailed. There's definitely some wildlife and water quality impacts. Things did pop up a little bit with the rain, but by the end of the weekend, we'll be back down to those levels.
I'm curious about farmers. We talked a little bit about wildlife and some of the water quality the impacts that the drought has on that. But when it comes to farmers who depend on rainfall and groundwater for their livelihood, do you know how this is affecting agriculture?
I am not an agriculture expert, but in Massachusetts, agricultural uses are considered an essential use. So in a drought, they're one of the last uses to get curtailed when we're trying to do water conservation.
I'm going to bring us back to my desert experience here for a little bit one more time. I remember, especially living in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we used to be able to get a rebate from the city if, you know, you did away with your grass and installed xeriscaping, which is essentially landscaping with drought-tolerant native plants. And, you know, you could imagine what a difference that makes. Is something like that in the cards for us here in Massachusetts, changing up the way we landscape our yards, that kind of thing?
I think that's a great idea. There are a few communities that they haven't quite gone as far as they have out west with, you know, paying you to to rip up your lawn. But there are a few communities who have done some really interesting things, trying to discourage in new development, creating very big lawns, because a lot of people, they buy a house, it's got an enormous lawn. You know, maybe the developer could just make the lawn a little smaller in the first place. But I don't know that we'll quite get to the lawn buybacks that you see in the West, but there definitely are a lot of things that communities can do to try to help reduce the demand for summer irrigation water, which is one of the biggest challenges when it comes to drought.
It does seem like there is a lot developers can do and what you can do on a community level. What about on an individual level to save water? What can folks do?
There's all kinds of things you can do. You know, a big one particularly related to drought is how you manage your landscaping. You know, to go to grass species that don't need to be irrigated. You can have a beautiful lawn that doesn't need to be irrigated, and lawn irrigation is a huge consumer. There's also all kinds of things you can do inside your home. I particularly like those because it's a matter of, you know, upgrading your gear, right? People buy a new phone every year, a new car every 5 years, but they're still using the same toilet that was installed in their house in 1972 that's using 4 gallons every time you flush. There's opportunities to really save money and water that way every day without even thinking about it. And a lot of communities offer rebates and incentives to try to encourage people to take advantage of those.
That's Ian Cook. He is the executive director of the Neponset River Watershed Association. Thanks so much for joining us.